thank you, Susan, and thank you for inviting me to speak about my fellowship. I'm not sure about being a treat, though. I feel like I should be wrapped up in sweet paper. I'm going to try to cover my fellowship study in 5 minutes, so bear with me. So it'll be a brief overview of the study, some emerging results, and the impact of the study, and a little bit about why I love working with older adults. So just to start off with, the fellowship study consists of two main phases, which is the quantitative and the qualitative phase. So the quantitative phase is a case-controlled age match study, and the aim of this is to determine whether deficit visual functions are a risk factor for falls. It's a prospective observational study. And then this is then followed up with a qualitative study looking at two groups. One group who the participants have suffered a fall but also have age-related visual conditions, namely age-related macular degeneration, cataracts and glaucoma. And the second group that I interviewed had been recently diagnosed with these age-related eye conditions, so I wanted to explore with them how they felt about their sight and whether they had any concerns or fear of falling due to their sight. So I'm going to just quickly go over some of the results from the study. I'm very conscious of the 5 minute time limit, so I'll be brief. So just looking at this graph here, this illustrates the proportion of fallers versus non-fallers who had deficits in visual functions. So looking specifically at visual acuity, contrast sensitivity and stereo acuity, or otherwise known as depth perception. So the thresholds that I used for this was 0.3 log mar for vision, which is what we use for the DVLA, and the other thresholds for contrast sensitivity and stereo acuity were what we would consider the age-related normal thresholds for this group. So as you can see from the graph, that the fallers that I had recruited for my study had significantly deficient visual functions, particularly the contrast sensitivity and depth perception. The qualitative part of my study, I have some really interesting themes that emerge. So this is an ongoing process at the moment, so I'm still looking at the data of the transcripts. But what I really got a sense of was a sense of resilience across both groups, particularly in the participants who had really strong social support and networks. And it was really pleasing to hear the talk from the Impact Age Well study or project, because that really did come through in the interviews with these participants. That those who the narrative was, well, I'm just going to get up and get on with it, but they had some really strong support networks in place, family or social support, going to clubs, etc. So that's a theme that I want to explore further with these participants. A lot of the falls participants who did have age-related ophthalmological conditions were not necessarily fearful, but more cautious. They were still carrying on with their routine, their activities, but like I say, with the support behind them. Interestingly, not many of them attributed their fall to the sensory impairment, not to the vision, but more to physical causes. So more mechanical, so it was on my hip or my knee that gave way, but also the environment that they lived in. So there was a lot of narrative about the raised pavements, the curbs that they missed, which then, of course, missing that step, there was a real congruence between that narrative and the deficient stereo data in the clinical study. So not being able to judge distances or judging the depth. So that was quite interesting as well, that emerged from those interviews. With the older adults who'd recently been diagnosed with either AMD, glaucoma or cataracts, the big key finding from my perspective was that they wanted information about their condition. That gave them the confidence and ability to make rational decisions about their lifestyle and how they went about their daily lives. And you know, one of the participants said, "Knowledge is power." And I was very frightened about being diagnosed with AMD, but the information I got was wonderful, and it enabled me to carry on living as I do now, which hadn't changed. They lost capacity in some ways, but they've gained this knowledge to cope. They all valued their sight, but there was that fear of losing independence, particularly around not being able to drive. So those are the sort of key findings from the qualitative phase of my study. So the potential impact, obviously there's evidence there from the clinical study that we need to assess vision in these patients, these FALS patients, as part of the multifactorial assessment. This isn't actually happening across the board at the moment. So there's additional evidence to support those NICE guidelines. The deficits in contrast and stereo, we need to minimise those by offering patients effective cataract surgery and not being relied on this postcode lottery of cataract surgery. So that's something that we need to be mindful of. But also as clinicians, perhaps we need to evaluate and be mindful about the information that we're giving our patients in order to empower them to access this healthcare information so they can make decisions about their aging well in the environment. And also, finally, I think it's a public health issue about providing social support and networks across the life course for individuals, because a lot of the individuals in my study, you know, they built these social supports early on in their life course, which they maintained throughout. So this is a really key public health message. So just to really... Am I on time? Am I okay? Just wanted to really finish with this quote, because what we want to avoid is older adults being fearful. They may have these embodied loss of habits or capacities, but they will gain something by having the right additional support networks and engagement from clinicians to empower them with the knowledge and healthcare information. But just thought I'd leave you with this quote here, and I've just really enjoyed working with older adults. It's a passion of mine. As an orthoptist, I don't know how many of you know what an orthoptist does, but we tend to work with the younger ages. So we work with children generally who have a strabismus or lazy eyes. So we tend to work at the younger age of the spectrum. But for me, I enjoy working with the older adults, because I just see there's more opportunities for us to enable them to live well in this society, in an aging society. Thank you.